Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. We're starting a new series entitled Taking Ground. The purpose for Word Life Church is to create fully functioning disciples of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that apart from the Word of God. We believe the Word of God is the single most important thing that we have access to. We believe the Word of God, all it takes is one word from God to change everything. What if you were one word away from your breakthrough? One word could change your forever. Can you expect that? One word to change your forever. I want to look at a couple scriptures that Word Life was founded on. The first one is Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. This is our mandate as a local body. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The second scripture I want to take a look at is John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. This is another scripture that we launch Word Life believing and standing on. It's John 8, 31 and 32, which says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" What is our part in that? Abiding in his word. Verse 32 goes on to say, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, family, it's the truth that we come to know that will cause freedom to take place in our lives. That freedom that we benefit from because of the Word of God becomes our testimony. And that is what other people see and glean from and grab hold of. And that's what being a disciple is. To get free enough to share what God has done in your life. You know, you don't ever have to learn a bunch of Bible scriptures. You don't ever have to become so versed in the Word of God before you go out and minister. All you have to do is say, "This is what happened to me." You know, your testimony is unique. Your testimony is powerful. And if anybody knows you pre-Christ, and then they get to experience you post-Christ, they know there's a God. And that's what you want. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to represent. Today, our foundation text is going to be Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's go there. Where are you guys going? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. We'll look at 12, 13, and 14. We'll look at it in two different translations. The first one is the New King James. And it says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching," everybody say reaching, "to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's look at this in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says it like this. It says, "I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Talking about wisdom. Then it goes on to say in verse 14, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. You know, that is so powerful, and that is what we are called to do. In this series, Taking Ground, you and I cannot take ground without gaining momentum. Our subtitle for today's message is Gaining Momentum. And that is something that must take place for you and I to take ground. It takes momentum to move into the upward call that God has planned for your life. The promises of God are not automatic. They require our pursuit. Look at your neighbor and say, you must pursue the promises of God. You must pursue the promises of God. It is so key that we know and understand that, because there is a teaching or a belief that because God is sovereign, we don't have to do anything. And that teaching or that theology is killing believers all over the planet. We must participate with the plan of God. It requires you and I saying yes to His will, yes to His word. We have to choose Him. We have to choose life. We have to choose blessing over cursing. It will always require you and I participating to what God wants to do in our lives. Your focus should always be forward, not backwards. Your focus should always be looking ahead. The principle is never leave anything. Never leave anything. Always go to something. That's your focus. You're not looking back. If your mindset is I'm leaving something, you're constantly looking back. If you say, I'm going somewhere, you're looking forward. And family, that is absolutely the key. And that's what Paul's talking about. This one thing, I got it figured out. I'm not trying to say I know everything. Paul was like, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not saying I arrived. But one thing I know, pressing forward is the key. And that is the message for today. You go forward. Amen? Why would I say that? Because you'll never make progress looking behind you. You'll never go far focusing on the rear view mirror of your car. Forward is our mandate. The pains of your past should never outlast the fruit of your spirit. Please hear that. Every time you and I get hung up on our past pains, we are setting aside or neglecting the fruit of our future. And you have a God who has promised you a future full of hope. According to Jeremiah 29:11, your future is bright. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. And the promises of God are yes and amen. Somebody say amen to that. The definition of the word momentum is a force. It is impetus or driving power. Momentum is a byproduct of mass and velocity. There's always a force behind momentum that sends it in a direction. Example, if someone heavy starts running, if someone who weighs a certain amount is running towards someone who weighs less than them, and that person who weighs less than them is standing still, the person who's running with all the momentum is going to run right over the person who is standing flat-footed. That momentum never fails. And when you and I grab hold of the momentum it takes in order to take hold of what is before us, because of who you are called to take ground everywhere you go. Amen. You are called to take territory every step you make. That belongs to you. And that requires you and I having an understanding of that. If we don't know that, we'll allow the enemy to steal from us. The lesser, here's the principle, the lesser is always impacted by the greater. It's absolutely crucial that you and I understand this, because your yes to Jesus made you the greater. Somebody shout, I am the greater. You see, in Christ, we are the greater. The greater one in you impacts the lesser rival that comes against you. Because of who you are, because the word of God says greater, the greater one, because it says greater is he that is in me. That means everything that is outside of you is lesser. And you have victory and you have the ability to take ground because who's in you? So very important. Family, allow that to become your reality. Allow that to become your perspective. Your perspective needs to be a heavenly perspective. Your perspective needs to be an understanding that I am an ascended being. You don't pray up, you pray down, because where you're seated, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You don't stare things, you don't look up hoping something happens. You call down the power of God. You bind, you loose because of the authority that you walk in. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Family, we are the head and not the tail. Somebody say that out loud. I am the head and not the tail. That's Deuteronomy 28:13. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you, what's it say? We're going to wait for the rest of y'all. You ready? He who is in you is what? Greater than he that is in the world. Family, understand that you are not at a deficit. You are not running for your life. You are not trying to gain a victory. You have victory. And you're standing your ground and you're taking ground. You're moving forward mightily because of the one that's on the inside of you. Why are we having this conversation today? Because the danger of not knowing this is our momentum in life can easily be slowed down by trivial things. Easily. Things that don't really matter. Terrell and I have a thing that we do when we get caught up in trivial things. We'll interrupt one another and say, you know what? It matters not. And that is so true, because it kind of snaps us out of being intertwined with things that don't matter. Don't allow, you see, because the trivial things become like a cog in the wheel of progress. If you allow trivial things, if you allow things that don't really matter, if you allow the lesser things to begin to slow down your progress, you'll forsake what God sent Jesus to die for. In order to clear the clutter, we say things like that. It matters not. You know, is that person worth taking the joy that Jesus died for you to have? What a different perspective. Is that person worth you holding on unforgiveness as if that's greater than the blood of Jesus that was shed on your behalf? Is that situation or circumstance worth you slowing down the call of God on your life? Do you realize there are people waiting for what you have on the inside of you? There are people that only you can reach. There are people in your life right now waiting for you to get over an offense or to get over something that took place and step into what God has called you to do. Isn't the blood of Jesus worth it?
There's three of us, four of us. It's catching on. I hear it. It is absolutely worth it. What he died for is so valuable. Do you understand that there will never be a price? There'll never be anything more valuable than the price that was paid for your salvation. So the next time the enemy lies to you and tries to tell you that you're not valuable, remind him that the most valuable thing on the planet, the most valuable, the highest price possible was paid for me. God saw something in me to send his very best. God saw something in you to send his very best. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. You are extremely valuable. Your supply is necessary. Your vessel is holy. The ground you walk on belongs to the kingdom of God. And as many saints that the Father has marching forward, taking ground, the more the kingdom of God is advanced. You are valuable. You are continuing the work of the Messiah, and God is grateful for you. Say that to your neighbor. God is grateful for you. What does our response need to be to a message like this? We need to first and foremost take a real assessment of our lives. We need to say, where am I at? We need to identify our current location, because you can't be led somewhere if you don't first identify your current location. So the questions we need to ask ourselves is, am I moving forward or am I moving backwards? Honestly, am I advancing or have I become stagnant? Am I slipping back? The second question is, am I moving up or am I going down? Am I leaning forward or am I backing off? Do you have momentum of victory or momentum of defeat? Family, you understand every year you should be better? Every year you should have a greater understanding of who he is. Every year you should be closer to your dad. Every year you should have a greater understanding of the things of God. You should hear his voice even more clear. Every year, you and I should be advancing in the things of God. And you can. God has absolutely set it up so that you and I can progressively take ground on his behalf. Momentum works in either direction. If you have enough momentum in the right direction, it doesn't matter what's thrown at you. It doesn't matter what comes against you. If you get enough momentum, the things that used to stop you will become little speed bumps in your life. You'll blast right through them on your journey of grabbing hold of the high call. You're not looking for a reason to give up. You're not looking to blame somebody. You're looking at him and saying, what is it that you have me to do? You're excited about getting up and getting after the things of God. That's what happens when you and I have momentum in the right direction. When we have great momentum, the things that used to slow us down don't even cause us to flinch anymore. That's what God's after. He's after you and I taking ground. I'm believing at the end of this series that you and I can look back and say, wow, look what God has done in my life. God has identified some things and he's shown me how to take ground in every single area of my life. All starts with one step. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Where are you guys going? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. So critical that you and I grab hold of what God is desiring to do in the earth. Do you realize you're the answer? You're the answer to the world's problems. Do you realize that? God doesn't have any other entity or vessels to use. The birds are not going to do it. God made it so that your vessel could house the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to go and continue the work of the Messiah. He set that up. He chose you and I. Still, he knew all our faults and flaws, our shortcomings, and he still said, I want you. He still chose you and I. And you know what? He didn't make a mistake. You are equipped to do exactly what God has called you to do. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, that scripture is as plain as God saying, light be. God said, light be, and light has been ever since. Anytime you see a command in the Word of God, you can grab hold of it and take it as your own. If you see it in the Word, you can have it in your life. The promise is, don't give up. Don't get weary while doing good, and I'll take it from there. God is promising you he's going to see it through. In due season. So think what seasons are. Seasons have time. But if we didn't have winters, nothing would grow in the spring. So you can be encouraged. It doesn't matter what season you're in right now. It is for a time. And at the end of that time, in due season, you will reap. That's encouraging, because it doesn't matter what's going on. God's word is not going to return void. God is going to see to it that his will comes to pass. You will reap. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. Continue pressing forward. Continue taking ground. Decide, there's one thing I'm going to do. That's going to be pressing forward, moving forward. No matter what goes on, I'm reaching that way. You decide that. Be like Paul and say, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes my way, it doesn't matter. I'm going that way. I'm pressing through it all. If I got to crawl, so be it, but I'm going that way. Settle that in your heart today. It all starts with one step in the right direction. Trust God enough to act on his holy written word. Trust God enough to do something about what you hear. Your season of good harvest is in front of you. Say that to somebody. Your season of good harvest is in front of you. You know, for example, David killed a bear when no one was looking. David killed a lion without an audience. And he was promoted to a bigger stage, and he killed a giant named Goliath, on the road to his destiny, on the road to his predetermined purpose, and that was to be king. There's a throne waiting for you. You just keep moving. Don't shrink back from the bear or the lion. You keep pressing forward. You keep taking territory. You keep moving after the things of God. And you'll slay your giant, and you'll get into your place. You'll grab hold of what God has set aside for you. Just keep gaining momentum towards the throne that's destined for you. Amen? Destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. You and I have to choose who we serve. It's not a matter of chance. Destiny is never just going to happen. It's a matter of choice. What will you choose? Choose to be strong. Choose to be courageous. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Speaking of strong and courageous, make a choice. Even if that hasn't been the case in the past, even if you stubbed your toe just last week and you're still limping, even if you're getting over a heartache, even if you're going through an emotional struggle, press forward anyhow. Amen? Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It's on the screen. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Look at verse 8. And read, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Isn't it amazing how much you have to do in that? Did you notice all the times where it said you? It says, first of all, only be strong and courageous. Again, that's like light be. Then it goes on to say that you may observe to do. My servant commanded you, do not turn from it from the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from whose mouth? From your mouth. It comes down to what you and I are saying. And you know what? Man may have failed you. People may have lied and done wrong and pretended to be something they weren't. But God has never done that to you. God has never forsaken you. God has never lied to you. God has never let you down. And that's important to settle, because you could get to a point where you begin to harden your heart and say, oh, that God stuff ain't about nothing because so-and-so did this to me. Jesus didn't. Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and chose to die for you. That's the only thing that happened to you from Jesus. And it's important to settle that, because the trivial things could be people. The trivial things could be someone did something, said something, or didn't do what they said they were going to do. That's trivial. What about God? What about your Maker? What about the one who loves you unconditionally? What about the one, the only one that has your solution? He is for you. Period. The greater impacts the lesser. All of us have areas of ignorance in our lives. The good news is ignorance is lesser than revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is available for all of us. So when you and I gain revelation knowledge from the Word of God, it will drive out all ignorance. You know, there's a scripture that talks about we all see through a glass dimly. We don't have it figured out. If you think you have it figured out, that's the definition of deception. You know, I've never seen someone who was deceived know they were deceived. Never. But God set it up to where we can tap in to the mind of Christ to get insight of what to do and what not to do. Revelation knowledge is greater. Love is greater than hate. When love comes, hate goes. Light is greater than darkness. Darkness dissipates when the lights come on. Faith is greater than fear. Where faith appears, fear leaves, because the greater always impacts the lesser. The greater always impacts the lesser. Whatever has the most momentum in our lives determines the direction of our lives. Do you realize we can determine what has the most momentum in our lives? You know, what we focus on expands. What we focus on begins to be magnified in our lives. And when you and I magnify the things of God, we see the greater benefits, promises, the love, the faith of God that we could have in our lives to take care of the lesser things that are coming against God's plan in our lives. Negative momentum, if it dominates the things in your lives, if things like unforgiveness, frustration, fear, unbelief, and rejection, if they're not dealt with, that becomes the momentum of our lives. Do you have the ability to control that? That's a real answer, a real question. Do you have the ability to control that?
Yes.
You have the ability to control the momentum of your life. And that's so important to understand, because the moment you think, I can't do anything about it, you render yourself helpless. The moment you say, it's out of my hand, you stop participating in the plan of God. When you know and understand that you have say-so in what goes on in your life, you'll begin to say something about what's going on in your life. The next time you hear yourself say something like, God, why is this happening to me? Understand God is saying, why are you letting it happen to you? You know, Jesus is not going back on the cross for none of us. It was absolutely successful. The finished work of the cross is finished. Now it's about you and I tapping into what has been provided. Positive momentum, because of the greater one, makes all the difference when we choose. Let's look at our application. How do we gain momentum and take ground? How do we gain momentum? Who's interested in gaining momentum and taking ground? Momentum requires proper alignment. It requires you and I aligning ourselves to, first and foremost, God's path. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Get in step with God and allow his direction to order your steps. Application number one is align with God's path. He has a path that is laid out for you and I to walk down. Number two, what's it say? Align with God's purpose. Finance the kingdom of God, the preaching of the kingdom of God. God didn't save us to see how much stuff we could pile up. God saved us so we can participate in advancing the kingdom of God. Make a decision. I'm going to be a part of financing the gospel. I'm going to be a part of seeing. Do you know there's so many things that are being invested in, and there's so many of those investments that are tearing down the morality of mankind. What if you and I decided we're going to advance the kingdom of God on purpose? We're going to see to it that the kingdom of God is financed. Matthew 6:33, let's go there. Matthew 6:33, this is the answer to almost every situation that you and I face. Matthew 6:33. Let's read it together. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says what? Any time we forsake seeking first to pursue the things, we get it out of order and we limit, we cause hesitation to come to God's perfect plan happening in our lives. Do you realize if we did it His way, it's on Him to make it come to pass? If you and I say, okay, Lord, I'm seeking you in your way first, it's up to you to make sure all the things are added. Instead of getting it twisted and running after the all things and not pursuing Him first, you realize God is not going to let His word return void? If you and I choose to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He's going to take it from there. He's going to do the heavy lifting in our lives. You know what? He knows what we need more than we do. You realize He can do you better than you ever could? He can raise your kids better than you can. He can make you a better husband, father, wife. He can do you better than... Raise your hand if you believe that. If you believe that, it makes sense for you and I to seek first the kingdom of God. Luke 4:43 says, but He said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. The purpose of God is advancing the kingdom. When you and I align ourselves to God's purpose, He takes it from there. Number three says what? Align with right relationships. Right relationships that are anointed by God will cause momentum in your life. That's what we're talking about, gaining momentum and taking ground. Right relationships that are anointed by God will cause momentum. Abram had Melchizedek as an anointed relationship. Elisha had Elijah. Paul had Barnabas to introduce him to the early church. We need people who know how to pursue God and influence us to pursue God, to unlock the potential in our lives. Number four says what? Align with God's calling. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. You know, there are some people in your life right now who shouldn't be in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody in the room. For sure, there is somebody in your life that shouldn't be in your life. And I'm going to obey God and say He's told you before to cut them loose, and He's reminding you now through me. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of whose calling? Is it important to Him? Family, understand that. We're talking about His calling in our lives. This is very important to God. God desires to see His calling come to fruition in our lives. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? In who? Say, I'm a saint. His calling, His inheritance in you. Of course He wants to see it come to pass. Number five says what? Align with God's power. Ephesians 1:19 through 22 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power? His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. You are the body of Christ. If all things are put under his feet, where are they at in your life? Please understand that you never have to fear any demon. You never have to fear any attack of the enemy. The Word of God, the truth of the Word, is telling us that all things have been placed under our feet. Jesus is the head. We are his body. The all things are under our feet. No one understands that you can take ground, you can gain momentum because of the authority that's been delegated to you. Look at somebody and say, I have authority. So very important. The power that is now working in us as believers is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything we have of believers in Christ comes from our union with him. Therefore, what is true of him is true of us. Dear God. Family, it is wrong for us to admire Jesus and be down on ourselves. It is wrong for us to praise Jesus, worship Jesus, celebrate Jesus, and say things like, I'm so stupid. How could I do that? Man, I was dumb. God, when am I ever going to get it together? That is wrong. Because as he is, so are we. Start celebrating the God on the inside of you. Start celebrating the life on the inside of you. Start celebrating the great you shine bright. You're God's handiwork. You're God's favored one. You're God's beloved. Stop beating yourself up. And start celebrating the life of God on the inside of you. The same way Jesus is now, above all principality, powers, and might, so are we. Number 6 says what? Align with God's authority. And that's Luke 10:19. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Delegated authority has been given to you, the church, over the works of the enemy. Paul's prayer is that you and I are enlightened to this fact, that we get it, that we comprehend what has been given to us. Last but not least, number 7 says what? Align with abundant life. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life belongs to you. Understand that. You are supposed to live in abundance. You're supposed to have abundance of joy, peace, hope, finances, health, wealth, riches, relationships. You're supposed to live an abundant life. The abundant life is for you. Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Thank you for your anointing, stirring, moving, stretching, pulling, prompting, given utterance. Thank you, Lord, for the incorruptible seed that has been sown into our hearts. I pray for every listener that hearts are pliable, so that the Word of God would go and grow a bountiful harvest that would create free people who free people, that there will be an abundance of disciples going out and discipling, that we would grab hold of your great commission and go, therefore, discipling. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Father, I thank you for every household represented here and watching online. I pray in agreement with victory. I pray in agreement that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail. That the grace of God, the mercy of God, goes before them. Thank you, Lord, that your face shines upon them, illuminating their hearts and their minds to such a degree that transformation takes place. That people will begin to say, I can tell you've been with Jesus. I can tell the love of God on the inside of you. I thank you for the tangible presence. I thank you for the anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your anointing. Begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. He desires to speak life into you, into that situation. There's a situation that you're facing, and the Holy Spirit has the answer. He has the solution, and he desires to give it to you now. Quiet your mind and receive from the Holy Spirit. What an awesome opportunity to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What are you saying to me? Because we're children of God. We can hear the voice of God. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your plan. Prayer ministers, will you come up front? Thank you, Lord, for revealing your plan. Thank you, Lord. I never want to take it for granted that everyone in the building, or if you're online, let us know if you want to make a decision to receive the forgiveness of Jesus for the first time. And we'd love the opportunity to pray with you. If you're in the building and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never said yes to the forgiveness of Jesus, or if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to live a successful Christian life. Do you need it to go to heaven? No. But if you desire to be successful, the Holy Spirit knows. He knows what to do, what not to do. He knows those things that we should pray for, and he will pray for them through us if we let him. If you're here today and you have sickness in your body, it doesn't matter what it is, it's trespassing. The Spirit of God, the anointing of God is available to cause healing to manifest today. If you need healing in your body, we're inviting you to come forward and receive. If you need peace in your mind, if you are emotionally under attack, if you feel stress or pressure, that's not of God. Insomnia is an attack of the enemy. If you are in need, we believe in the power of prayer. will agree with you and see it come to pass in your life. If that's you, come now. If you have any needs, thank you, Lord. Believers begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Begin to just create an atmosphere that is welcoming. Begin to create an atmosphere that the voice of the Father is louder than the doubt, the distractions of the enemy. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Allow just a welcoming atmosphere to manifest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody's healed. No issues in the house. Somebody has something going on with their right knee. God said he'll heal it if you come to him. If you trust him, he'll heal it. No, he's the only one who can. What if we just gave him an opportunity to do what he said he'll do in his word? Or somebody who has something going on with your right shoulder, the Spirit of God. Just quicken me. And he said he'll heal that. Who's that with your right shoulder? He'll heal that. Amen. He'll heal that. You know, that's just what he does. He is so faithful. That's the gifts of the Spirit are for us. God desires all of us to be whole. There's something going on in somebody's stomach. I don't know what it is, but you can be healed today. A word of knowledge just came to me, and there's somebody who's been struggling with some type of abdominal pain. You can be healed today. That's what God does. He desires to release us of that. If that's you, just respond. Watch what he does. He wouldn't have told me if he didn't desire to heal it. But it requires our participation. If you desire to be whole, come forth. Allow the Lord to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. Keep praying in the Spirit, family. Keep praying in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing powers. Thank you for your anointing to heal. I need another lady up here, please. Thank you for your anointing to heal. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we desire your wholeness. We take you at your word, Lord. We just believe you. You know, you've been under a lot of pressure. You've been suffering with migraines, and the Lord is saying to you that he'll take that off of you. That is oppression. The enemy has been trying to oppress you. That's not normal. That's not just a migraine. That's an attack of the enemy. And the Lord desires to relieve that from you today. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to these your precious people. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power, your plan, your path. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for ministry. We trust you, Lord. We give it to you. We give it to you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your healing anointing flowing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep praying in the Spirit, family. Keep praying in the Spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. 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 Absolutely delivered. Absolutely removed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. The greater. Taking care of the lesser right now. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the greater. Demolishing, destroying the lesser. We thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You love us so much that you desire for us to be whole. What an amazing God that you are. That you are calling us to come and be whole. You're calling us into freedom. You're calling us into health. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for calling us. We thank you, Lord, for ministering health and healing to us today. We thank you, Lord, for emotional freedom in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we are not ashamed of the power of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for making us whole. We thank you, Lord, for your power manifested in our midst for freedom. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We trust you. Lord, we trust you with our lives, with our bodies, with our minds. We trust you, Lord. And we thank you for the manifestation of healing. Thank you, Lord, for testimonies of your healing power. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. You are an amazing God. You are an amazing God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Let me sing something. Not you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of wholeness. God chose this day to set you free. Thank you for participating with his plan. He knew what he was going to do when you woke up this morning. Healing has come to you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for victory. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Keep praying in the spirit, family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for an atmosphere of health and healing. An atmosphere that's welcoming the presence of God. You know, what you're sensing, it's not the presence of God. The presence of God is always with us. What you're sensing is the power of God. And the power of God is made manifest as the greater to take care of whatever the lesser is. Thank you, Lord.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.